You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Like notes through the hour. These are the songs of our lives.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Songs of Our Lives. I'm Brad Rose. I'm an artist, a composer, a writer, the founder of Foxy Digitalis, and someone who thinks about music and sound far more than is healthy. Each week, I invite on a guest to talk about the songs and the music that has meant a lot to them and left its mark. Previous guests include White Boy Scream, Dorian Wood, Claire Rousset, Maurice, Wendy Eisenberg, so many more. This week, welcome back to the show. Friend of the show, one of my favorites, it's Patrick Shirishi. Woo! So excited to have Patrick back on the show. When I started doing remix episodes earlier this year, he was one of the first people that I contacted, and, you know, life happens, schedules are hard to make work, but then, you know, serendipity happens, and he has an incredible new album coming out this Friday on American Dream, September 19th, called Forgetting is Violence. And here we are. It's a hell of an album. His solo albums just continue. He just continues to really hone his practice and expand it and find new avenues to explore while still, you know, holding that true essence of what makes Patrick's work so compelling and so moving. This album is no exception. I'm pretty smitten with it, I'll be honest. I've listened to it a lot. I just keep going back to it. It's like I can listen to it all the way through, which is obviously a thing I do all the time, but like I'll find myself just wanting to hear certain tracks and I'll be like, oh, I need to, and then I'll put it on repeat. And so it's just really got some incredible moments and some real staying power, and Patrick's the best. So everybody check out the album if you haven't already. You know you're gonna love it. And as always, thanks for listening. Please leave a rating, review, subscribe, all those things wherever you listen to podcasts, because it helps with all the algorithmic bullshit. And you can join the Patreon, patreon.com/foxydigitalis. Get the episodes a little bit early. They're longer. They got more in them and they have no ads. So, you know, that's pretty good. $3 a month. Why not? Right. Thanks to everybody for supporting the cause. All right. That is it. Forgetting Is Violence is out on Friday, September 19th on American Dreams. This episode was so much fun. Hope you all enjoy it. My guest today is an artist, composer, a songwriter, a writer, an editor. Can we call you an editor now too?
Yeah.
A member of the armed, friend of the show. Welcome back, Patrick Shirishi.
Woo! Hey, thanks for having me.
So, like many people who come on here, you got a new record coming out.
Yeah.
Forgetting is Violence is out on September 19th via the always trusty American Dreams.
Yep. Shout out Jordan and the team.
Yeah. Man, this record, holy shit, dude. To start, I just wanted to, like, I was listening to it and kind of, like, reading some of the description and stuff, but I just keep, like, can't stop thinking about just the phrase "forgetting is violence."
Yeah,
and you know, the more you think about it, the more it hits you.
Totally.
I wish I could
take credit for the title, but it actually came from a conversation I had with a dear friend, Kimiko. I don't know if it was a conversation we had or there was a anniversary for the executive order that placed all the Japanese Americans in the camps. But she said that and I was like, damn. And I wrote it down and it just like stuck with me, you know, like, I don't know. It just really hit me and it still continues to hit me. And yeah, I was like, hey, I'm going to use this on my record. And she was down. I was like, thank you. But yeah.
It's so good. Props to your friend for
shout out Kimiko.
Okay. So one of the things the album deals with is, and I hope I said this right, Gaman. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Which feels like, I mean, I don't know a lot about it. I feel like we talked, maybe we talked about it on the last show. But that was almost 2 years ago. Who can remember?
Yeah.
But it feels like it's such a profound concept, and I imagine that this is like super personal, but also universal for you. And I'm kind of curious how you approach translating that into sound.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the whole concept of gaman is, you know, it's a very Japanese thing. Basically, it's more or less to like hold in your emotions, right? Mm-hmm. And I think as I grow older, I find that I'm a weird kind of blend. Mm-hmm. On my father's side, I'm a fourth generation, you know. And on my mother's side, I'm second. She comes from Japan. And so it's this weird kind of blend of like the traditional Japanese and like more or less being like American, you know, quote unquote, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like this whole thing of gaman was something that, you know, I've lived with all my life. And as I've grown older and just seeing what kind of shit is happening to so many people, it's more like, yeah, this is not the time to gaman, you know, it's time to actually like speak out and do the opposite, you know? Mm-hmm. And that was kind of also the impetus, more like part of it of starting like the Tangled chapbook, you know, mm-hmm. and having, you know, other Asian American musicians just kind of have the space available to say whatever they want to say and express whatever they want to express that they necessarily wouldn't have or feel comfortable doing in like other situations, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the chat. I was going to ask you. I guess it's a good time to chat. Can you just? I haven't seen the chat book yet. Is it out yet? I don't. It's
going to drop the same day as a record.
Oh, okay.
But this is a third iteration.
Yeah.
Of it, which is awesome. I'll send you the PDF for the first two.
Oh, cool. I think it's so cool that you're doing that and you continue to do it. I mean, this is like I said, it's the third one. Is this, do you see that it's just this continued, like ongoing project? Is
I would love for it to continue. I think part of it, you know, I feel like that world is so different. And just shout out Jordan for being down to do this. It's like an expensive thing.
Right.
You know, it's definitely, I mean, maybe we break even on just like the whole thing, but it's just like just so expensive, but he really believes in it. And I'm so grateful, you know. I feel like it for me, like I just love that world. Like I love reading, you know, and to be like a small part and have my friends contribute, you know, is very special. Originally, when I was starting the third iteration, I was like, maybe this is the last one. So I just like really went for it. I asked some heroes.
The lineup is amazing.
Yeah, I think it's great. I have a lot of friends on there and just like people admire. I admire everyone, to be honest. but yeah, I'd like to figure out how to continue doing that. You know, I think, you know, community is so important. And it's just a way to kind of strengthen that, you know, as we as we move along. You know, I feel like music community for me has been everything, you know. And so needed, and especially times where it feels like the world is falling apart.
When we need it now more than ever, right?
And so just, you know, kind of continuing that and moving that forward and just reminding, you know, everyone and especially myself that we're not alone in all of this.
For real. Yeah. Speaking of not being alone, you've got a bunch of guest musicians this time on your solo record.
Yeah, my first time.
Yeah. And what a lineup, man. God. What made this feel like the right time for...
I mean, you know, as you know, like, collaboration has been very important in my practice. Yeah. And I think I kind of reached a point, this is the first record too, where I've taken like several years to have it kind of stew and develop. And I just thought, oh, maybe, you know, having a different perspective or like an added perspective will like add to the music, you know? And, you know, especially at the end where like, I can't make all the cool, you know, distortion overtones that Matt can. Right. You know, I can't express myself the way Lane does, you know, or just like have the mastery that like, you know, Aaron and Faith and Gemma have. And just so having them was truly a blessing, like that I didn't have to really give them any instruction. You know, they kind of just did them. That's and, awesome. You know, are so they have such singular, iconic voices to me. And the fact that they were able to be themselves, but also like strengthen the music, you know, like, this record would not be what it is without them, for sure. Without all of them.
Yeah, no, that's always such an incredible thing when somebody can take what they do and not really compromise it, but make it works so well within someone else's context, kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I love all the stuff that's on. I mean, Soul Record is just, it's a hell of a record, man.
Thank you. Thanks so much. I'm very proud of it. I feel like a lot of the times after a record's done or something, I'm like, oh, I wish I could change something, or, you know, like, oh, this is, you know, fucked up. But I feel like this is like, you know, even with all its imperfections, I think I am very happy with how it turned out. Yeah.
And of course, speaking of other voices, literally on the record, your aunt.
Yeah.
Makes an appearance. That's like a really, it kind of caught me off guard. And then it was like in this really powerful way. And I'm curious what it was like sort of creating that space for her act, you know, her voice and her story in the music.
Yeah, so when I was developing the suite, that first suite, I had, you know, in the earliest versions, I would play like a Martin Luther King Jr., the Mountaintop speech. And I thought it was powerful. And I liked the fact that it was like, you know, like words instead of like singing or something else. And so originally, when I sent this to Aaron and Faith, I was like, Aaron, can you do some like vocals, you know, here? And then he sent back, you know, these guitar parts and no vocals. And I was like, what? But it was like, you know, his guitar playing throughout, like really gelled it together and it was like perfect. And so I still had this space, you know, Faith had sent back, you know, these beautiful vocals and electronics and radio. But I still kind of wanted, I felt like a voice would kind of round that ending off. And my aunt, she is, I think, the most like activist in my family. And so I thought about, you know, like, oh, maybe we'll have a conversation. I could pull something. So I went over and like we talked for like an hour. And I felt like that little bit was just kind of perfect for that little ending, you know?
It's awesome. And man, it's so cool when you get to include your family in this stuff. So, you
know. Totally. Yeah. A lot of my practice has been also like, you know, a lot of family stuff and like, you know, my dad and my grandfather was on a cover. I had my mom recite right. Japanese poetry, you know, earlier on. And to have my aunt on there. Yeah, it's cool.
There's a lot of things I could ask you. But the last thing I was thinking about is, so like on the second suite, which deals with grief and is like very, it got me right in the gut. But the part where the vocals, like where you're harmonizing with yourself, and it like it feels like you're kind of creating this choir of you. I'm curious what it was, just the recording process for that was like, because to me, like listening to it was very emotional. I'm curious what the recording process for that was like for you.
Yeah, I mean, it was cool. It was a lot of that was like kind of developed like at shows and like touring, and so a lot of it was like just loop pedals. You know, when I would do it and recording.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
I think when I was doing the bulk of the recording, it was like I was in like a certain headspace for sure. And you know, I think as I've recorded a lot of my own music, like just kind of learning like, okay, there is this whole sphere. It's not just like straight on, right? Or left and right. Like, you know, there's like this whole kind of palette you could kind of tap into. And so, you know, at the beginning of it with the wind sounds and like the little textures, mm-hmm. like, you know, hard panning it and kind of having it come in at different sides, you know, and just trying to be more aware of how I could mm-hmm. maneuver that and make it, I guess, impactful, not just sonically, but, you know, emotionally. Right.
I guess I said that was the last thing, but this is gonna be the last thing. and we talked a little bit about it a second ago, but just, you know, talking about hope and supporting each other through whatever, all this shit.
Yeah.
So like, you know, after making this record and like pouring all of this into this record, I'm curious, like, what are you carrying forward now? And like from, yeah.
What am I carrying forward? I actually finished this record quite a little bit ago.
Fair. The process does take a while. The
process takes a little while. But I mean, it's both, you know, a positive and a negative that, you know, even though this was finished a while back, like these same things are quite just like, you know, needed to be talked about now.
Right.
You know, and it's kind of fucked.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. I mean, arguably, like, some things have gotten worse.
Yeah.
You know, and this is like 2020 fucking five. And right. It's kind of a bummer. But at the same time, you know, like, and I think this is like a string through my other records as well. Like, I do have hope that shit will get better. You know, like, you do mm-hmm. have to continually fight. Like, punks have been fighting for so long. And, you know, yeah. I think there is like a better world for, you know, children and, you know, our future children to live in. And, you know, whether it be through literature, through poetry, through music, you know, being active in the streets, I think it's all important and needed.
Yeah. I mean, because I wholeheartedly agree. I mean, as somebody who has a 12-year-old daughter, I kind of.
Yeah.
I, you know, but it's like the only way through is together.
Yep, 100%. 100%.
And that's what the fucking fascists, that's why they keep trying to isolate us. And
yeah,
social media is ruining the world. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
Won't go on my soapbox. We're going to talk about songs instead.
Let's talk about songs. Come on, music, man.
Yeah, let's bring it down a couple of... All right.
Yeah.
All right. New questions. What song do you... What's the song you wish you could hear again for the first time?
For the first time. All right. So this was a harken back to like my growing up. Upsilon & Crux. I picked Who's Running Shit, Son of Destiny's Child. But Upsilon was a huge... band for me. I would go to The Smell and Paraspace and watch them in my teens, like school days, you know. And I never really heard of like Brutal Prog before, and just seeing it live, I was like, whoa, what is happening? Like, it took me like several shows to like even decipher, you know, like, oh, this is not improvised, like this is all written. And like that was huge for me. I think, you know, in high school, of course, like, you know, or middle school, like Blink-182 and like that was like, an important listen. And then in high school, listening to Deerhoof and Blonde Redhead and like art music, is like, oh, this is like huge. And then, you know, being a kid and my parents were a little strict about going out, I never got to see that live. So going to The Smell and seeing other, you know, art music and like Brutal Prog and like this scene and being, it was like, wow, like music is crazy. You know, and it was just like, you know, me and my friends would go fucking every show that they were playing, and it was cool. And eventually, like years later, I actually got to join the band, and was on a record. We just recorded a record this year.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, which is super dense and awesome. But it was just like, I think, you know, I still feel like discovery of like new music is like so important and cool, you know, and that was just such a pivotal listening for me.
On this song in particular, every time I like listen to it, I feel like my brain kind of locks up because I don't understand how it's possible. So I can't even imagine it live. Like, it just,
it is,
there's so much and it's so fast and intricate, but it just, it rips and it's exhilarating. Like,
yeah,
you have to like hang on.
Yeah.
Have you like, as being part of the band now, like join it? Have you played this live? Do you guys ever do this?
Yeah, I mean, we would like play. I mean, we wouldn't play like the older material. When I joined, it was like a quintet. It was two drums, two guitars, and I was playing Rhodes and saxophone. But a lot, everything we would like kind of work out and practice, and then we would play live to test it, you know. And it's a lot of work, for sure. You know, there's maybe like, on this record that we just recorded, there's like two spots for the drummers to improvise, but 98% is very structured.
That's amazing.
Specific harmonies that we're working out in the space, you know. So yeah, it definitely is done live. Yeah.
I mean that, like, and thinking about, well, a couple things, like, yeah, like music discovery. I've been doing this for a long, long time. And I still, like, when I hear something that, I don't know, like, catches you in a way, like, I don't even want to say it's, like, nothing you've ever heard before. I mean, that's the thing, too. But some things, you know, that just catch, there are a few things in the world that excite me still as much as that feeling.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if I ever lose that, then I'm worried about myself.
Totally, yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, and also, like you were saying, I can only imagine, how hard this is to write and learn and play, but
it's also super rewarding, you know, when we execute it and, you know, listening back, like, I haven't heard the record we dropped in like 2000, whenever it was. And like listening back, it's like, damn, like, this shit is crazy. Like, we did this.
It's so like, just like doing things. And I mean, you know, I was telling you earlier, producing this record for White Boy Screaming, it's been hard as hell. Like,
yeah.
But the, like, in the most rewarding way, like, it's unbelievable. And I,
yeah,
I don't know. I, that's like the thing I'm constantly looking for is like, how do I continue to, like, I don't want this to be easy. If,
yeah.
If everything's too easy and I'm doing it wrong.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. I don't have these questions memorized, so I gotta like keep going back to the list. Oh yeah, so what's the song that once you hear it, it'll be stuck in your head for days? And I apologize if that caused that to happen.
No. I think so. I chose "Take Five."
Yeah,
Dave Brubeck Quartet. I think Paul Desmond has one of the best sounds on the alto.
Yeah,
and for me, he's a top five saxophonist. Just like, you know, it's him when he's playing. He's like so sweet and so melodic.
You feel like he's underappreciated? Do you feel like he's underappreciated?
You know, I do.
Yeah,
but only because I feel like so much of his work was with Dave Brubeck Quartet, and everyone knows Brubeck.
Yeah, right.
I think the heads know Paul, but the casual right. listener doesn't really know. It's like, oh yeah, the saxophonist in Dave Brubeck Quartet, you know,
right?
And homie wrote "Take Five." He did it, you know. Yeah. That's his composition.
Yeah, it's like one of the most iconic jazz pieces ever in the history of the world.
Yeah, 100%. So in that sense, I do. But I mean, you know,
yeah. I mean,
He's a goat.
Yeah, and the melody on this song is special. Oh, I mean, yeah, I get it. When I was prepping for this last week, it was like, I've had it stuck in my head since.
Yeah. It's great.
Amazing. I can't believe nobody's ever picked that for like greatest song of all time. Cause I think that's a pretty easy case.
I think it's a contender for sure.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. What's your go-to? Are you big karaoke guy? You like to do karaoke?
I don't do karaoke that much. I think the times when I do are for like a birthday party, but like, you know, it's well after 1 a.m. and everyone's pretty sloshed.
Yeah.
I think that's when I've been doing karaoke. So my choice is, you know, it's
My
Chemical Romance.
Yeah.
Anything off of the Three Cheers record, which I think they're celebrating an anniversary for right now. But that record was very heavily listened to in high school. You know, I think when I was, you know, in the 2000s, just like that screamo, emo, you know, vampire shit just really fucking hit. And, you know, I was no exception to to that. I didn't get to dress the part, but I'm sure, like, if my parents didn't give a shit, I probably would have, you know?
I'm sad there are no, like, high school pictures.
Now I'm super glad. Holy shit.
I don't know. Halloween's coming up, Patrick. Maybe you should.
Man, yeah, we don't need that. No one needs to see that.
Yeah, all this stuff came. I missed the boat, like, window. I was too old, I think.
Or
I was I thought I was too cool for it or something. But I know so little about it, and it comes up often. I mean, I know a lot more about it after doing the show because this screamo and this stuff was so formative for so many people.
Yeah, I mean, it's just so funny. I think you just have to be that certain age.
Yeah,
and in a certain time period, like, I'm sure, like, you know, I feel like I'm tapped in, but I don't know fucking shit about, like, what kids in high school are listening to, they're getting the music, like, TikTok world. I'm fucking out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel like, you know, hopefully you'll be doing this in, like, 20 years and, like, hearing their responses. And it's going to be, like, a different, like, you know,
I know.
Like, whoa.
Yeah, I've finally reached the point where, so, like, I take my daughter to school every morning, and we'll in the car where she's, oh, I want to play you this thing, and it's that's shit cool. I've never heard, and I love it. Like, it's, you know, oftentimes maybe it's not my thing, but I'm so excited just by the whole,
like, yeah, what genre things. Is like,
she's really like this summer, and that she's really getting into K-pop now, so yeah.
Dude, that shit is ruling the fucking world.
Yeah, I mean, there was that Netflix movie, K-Pop Demon Hunters.
Yes, yeah.
And she watched it over the summer on summer break and super into it. And hey, I get those songs stuck in my head all the time now when she plays
there you
them.
Go.
And she just, I was so excited that, like, I was like, oh my God, this is so my kid. Is she took that thing and just has gone down the rabbit hole of like, I want to know all about all the K-pop. Like,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah, but I don't, so I mean, yeah, I have a kid and I still don't really know how she discovers YouTube, I think, is where she's.
Yeah, I mean, it's so different. And when, you know, if she ever has children, I'm sure it's gonna be so different, or like, who knows? Maybe it's just like gonna be a chip in our head. Was like, download. Just
beam straight into the chip in your
head. Yeah.
Okay, well, what is the, this is the Wendy Eisenberg question. They inspire this one. The funniest or silliest song?
Yo, okay, so this, I didn't even fucking know this album existed. Do you know, are you familiar with this song?
No.
Did you hear it?
Yeah, I listened to it.
Holy fuck. It is fucking awful.
It's unhinged.
So when I was on tour opening for Sumac, I've done several tours with them, and in the van, we play like good stuff and then also like just some funny stuff. Like I remember the first tour, maybe we're in Europe, we listened to like Lulu in its entirety, which, you know, in one sitting is intense. And they played the Fieldy album.
Oh man.
And
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
They were hip to it. I was not. And I was like, this is insane. Like the rapping is so bad. We were talking about too. He's setting up to rhyme and then he'll just use a different word that has nothing to do with anything and then continue. The flow is just fucking trap. I'm sorry, yeah. Fieldy, you know, I'm sure you're wealthy and you're happy and you don't give a shit what I think, but man, I laughed out loud several times during. Couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it.
Stuff a frog full of firecrackers. Put them on your doorstep. You open the door, it smells like chicken breast.
Dude, yes. And there was another bar where he was talking about like lighting shit on fire. I was like, oh, shit on your doorstep. I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And you're probably like 30 years old.
Right.
It's the crazy part. These are the bars you're coming up with. God damn.
Yeah. Maybe, you know, like you said, he's rich and happy. Maybe we're the idiots here.
I mean, I'm definitely the fucking idiot. It came out also on an this is the most hyped I feel like I'm talking about any of the previous songs. It came out on a fucking pretty big label.
Oh, really?
Hold on, I'm looking it up now because it was on Epic. It was on Epic Records, dude.
How does that happen?
I mean, I get it. Korn is like arguably, you know, and at that time for sure, like, you know, Follow the Leader was fucking huge. I even owned a copy of that CD. But God, I don't know, you know?
Man.
They're probably like, we believe everything they're doing. Give them whatever money they want.
Right.
Yeah. Shout out him. He probably was like, yes.
Yeah. I have nothing but respect.
Yeah. I don't know if I have respect. No, maybe I do. That's a crazy album.
Yeah, I don't even know how to, yeah, it's, I should play it for my kid. I wonder what she would think.
Yeah, for sure. Know. Record that. That should be a bonus.
Yeah, bonus episode.
Yeah.
Only on Patreon, so sign up.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, what's your favorite opening song on an album?
All right, I put Throat number one on, off of Little Women's album, Throat.
So good.
That album is a perfect album. Mm-hmm. I think that band is a perfect band. Rest in peace. I still remember the first time I listened to it. It was, for some reason, I waited to get the record or the vinyl, or maybe it was already out and I got the vinyl. And I remember just like drinking with a whiskey in hand at home in my living room. I was home by myself and I just sat there and listened to it. And that record has everything.
Yeah.
You know? And it just starts off with a fucking bang.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's just like full throttle from the beginning.
Full throttle, just the textures, the harmonics that they're achieving, the multiphonics, just the rhythms, intensity, you know? But also there's like beauty in there as well, like, mm-hmm. you know? Super melodic middle part. Incredible. Just incredible.
God. And just, what a band.
Yeah.
What a band.
I mean, those players, I think, are all goated for me, like, just like, of our previous, yeah. like, our current scene, and just like in there, like, they're all just,
yeah,
you know,
yeah. I was listening to Darius's last record over the weekend again, the Legend of E-Boy,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know, he's one of those people who his playing just takes me to another.
Yeah, and his tone and his volume, like, seeing that shit. Have you seen it live?
No.
You gotta see that shit. It hits different live.
I bet.
For all of them. Travis solo, I saw long time. That shit just, like, was incredible. Maybe top 10 shows in my life.
Oh, man.
Just watching Jason do his thing. I mean, you know, there's...
Like I said, they're all, like, goated.
Yeah. There's nothing else to say. So if you don't know them, check all four of them out.
Yeah. And
Andrew's solo record... fantastic. Just, you know,
and if you haven't heard this Little Women record,
oh yeah, buy that shit immediately.
Hit pause and go buy it.
Go buy it.
All right, favorite closing track.
There is a quintet record, Otomo Yoshihide's new jazz quintet. They did a live record that came out on Clean Feed. But it ends with Eureka, which I think is a Jim O'Rourke song. Mm-hmm. But I think that is a... I think I still just want to take from that. Just the way that it's just like this really strong melody.
Mm-hmm.
And it just is there. And it just falls apart, but it's still there. And it becomes chaotic. But it's still so beautiful, and just the way that the song kind of evolves over time. I think it's just unmatched. That record is incredible, but that last track in specific is just like, I don't know. It's just like, it's, I feel like it's so captivating, especially a piece of music without any lyrics or words. You know,
well, yeah.
And
there's such a lyricism to it.
Yeah, I feel like it just goes back to this, the thing where, like, sounds are awesome, you know, but a good melody, you can't really fuck with that.
No,
you know?
I mean, yeah, and it's like one of those melodies. Like, I mean, the whole piece kind of feels this way, but it's because of the melody. Like, it feels like it's has always existed, and it will continue to exist forever. And like, we're like listening to this, it's like we get to catch this glimpse of it.
Yeah.
And it's so, yeah, that whole record is incredible.
Yeah. Too, and so. I feel like it's a, you know, not always our cover is better than the original.
Right.
But sorry, Jim. I think Otomo just really fucking knocked it out of the park, man. I'm sorry. You know?
This song now.
Yeah. Shy. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's an awesome call. Okay, what's the most fucked up song you've ever heard.
Okay, so this is also going back to like our previous. So it's an Upsilon and Crux song that I'm on. And this is a closing track off of our record, Old Death Sea's Odyssey. And we decided that we wanted to do a long song. And we did it. We recorded it. It was a journey. And getting ready to record our latest record, Paul, who's a leader, it's his band. He's like, oh, I listen to like all the music that the band's ever done. Just give him the headspace. It's like, that's cool. I was only on one record, so I listened to Sunscore Dialect, and I heard it again, and I was like, damn, this is a crazy piece of music that we made in a practice room. You know, there's zero notation, you know, and it a lot happens.
Yeah.
Where even a couple of times I'm like, damn, this is crazy. You know what we were doing, and we definitely like closed with that at a lot of shows. We played it at Rio, the Rock and Opposition Fest, which was an incredible honor to do. But it was. We were very locked in, you know.
I bet.
And I'm very proud of that song and that record. I feel like it might be the most complex thing I've ever been a part of, and I'm just like super proud of it. And it's fucked up.
It is totally fucked up.
Yeah.
But the weird thing is it's like it's so technical and complex and fucked up, but it's still weirdly approachable, I think.
Like, yeah, I think it's a melodic, you know, we end with like a really rocking part, which is intentional. You know, like here's the payoff. Like we're just gonna fuck it, or you know,
you made it through. Your head.
Yeah. But there's also some fuckery, you know. But yeah, I think it's pretty cool.
I'm still just really excited that you guys have a new record.
Like, yeah, me too.
Probably in a year or so, because the way things go, right?
Yeah.
Who knows? All right, what's your favorite love song?
All right, so this is Nightpalm. She did Crossfire. But this was me and Amber's first dance song at our wedding.
Yeah.
I mean, we were like really into it when we were dating and first dating and everything. But I think Nightpalm and kind of Hiatus Coyote just kind of holds a special place in our heart. Mm-hmm. When we were doing our engagement photos, we were kind of doing it without any music. And we were like, this is kind of fucking hard. And they dropped a new single like a little bit before that with Arthur.
Oh, uh-huh.
Doing the string arrangements. And so we just had that on repeat, and it kind of like got us in a more relaxed vibe, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, she's just so fucking cool.
Yeah.
I think Nightpalm is just so cool.
She has such incredible just presence.
100%. Yeah.
It's almost like a physical thing. Like you can see it coming.
Yeah. It's like an aura.
Yeah.
Like her, like Erykah Badu, same thing. I feel, you know what I mean? Just like, just a presence.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Very cool.
All right. What's a song that you really love, but people don't get it? Whoever these people are, some I don't know.
Damn, where did I put? Did I have an answer for this?
Oh, maybe you didn't have an answer for
this. I might have taken it off.
Oh. Man, you're shorting us.
That's such a hard question. Yeah, okay, so when I was on tour, I was kind of thinking about this, and I was listening to different stuff. I feel like every song that I came up with like as a possibility, like I could call like... Like, I could figure out someone who liked it. Yeah, and, you know, like, I listen to a lot of different shit.
Right.
But also have, like, a lot of friends in different worlds.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's songs that, you know, Amber would fucking hate.
Right.
But my friends over here absolutely love, you know.
Right, yeah.
And I couldn't do it, so I pressed backspace on...
Okay, what's a song that you really love but your wife can't stand?
Damn, I mean, you know... So many black metal songs, so many hardcore songs, you know?
Yeah, it's like me trying to listen to Rancid.
No, what else? You like Rancid?
No, I love Rancid.
Oh.
But nobody else. Like my friend Sam, my buddy, that we did the podcast. We did this Rancid podcast every week for 2 years, and I can't fucking listen to Rancid anymore.
I mean, that's pretty intense. That's pretty intense.
Yeah, I love how you did that.
I think that's very fucking cool.
Yeah, well, you know, they're very problematic people, but
Everyone's perfect.
No, but hey. Anyway.
All right, I'm gonna look at, I think I have it's an album by Dead in the Dirt. They have this album called The Blind Hole.
Okay.
And it's kind of like it's like 22 tracks, 23 minutes long.
Oh, that's my kind of shit.
It's, I think, of its genre, it's just like the best. This was their last album before they broke up, but it's just so fucking tight. The tones are incredible. The songs are incredible. They're all just like, it's like a 22, you know, punch in the gut every time. And just like sonically, it's incredible. And they're just three people. But definitely Amber would hate that. So I listened to that recently and popped in there. So there it is.
I want to start a band where, like, I love when a record is, it's like 15 tracks, 17 minutes.
Yeah.
I really want to start a band that's what we do, but
yeah. Your whole set's the full length records in and out of 15.
Amazing.
Boom. Good night.
All right, what is a song that makes you want to get up and move your body and shake that ass?
I picked Future's Fuck Up Some Commas.
Yes.
Do I love Future?
I fucking love Future too,
I think Future is incredible. I think his sense of melody and his impact on the genre is like undeniable.
Yep.
I love especially Sad... Fuck Up the Commas is great, like, Let's Fucking Go song, but I love Sad Future.
Oh, I love Sad Future too, man.
I think sad songs just really speak to me. I don't know why, but Sad Future, that is peak Future for me.
Same. I love Future. And my sort of like get hyped before like an interview or before like a kind of for a show if I need to is like You Deserve It from Pluto has been my
song for, deep cut
when Pluto came out, oh my god, I remember my friends and I just all like, and we're all a bunch of noise dudes, but my friend John was like super into hip-hop and stuff, and he'd got us, and we were just like, oh my god, what is this, who is this guy?
Yeah.
And then like went back through all the mixtapes and stuff, but Pluto, it's like one of my favorite albums ever, I swear to God.
Nice. I mean, I think it's so cool that, you know, his reach is also like so huge, you know?
Yeah. I feel it's like him and Young Thug.
Yes.
Are two of the most, I had this conversation about Young Thug with Claire on her episode. And we were like, I think they're like two of the most important and innovative artists is like the last 20 years.
Yeah. Rich Gang was insane. Barter 6. Oh. Classic for me.
Yeah.
Did you hear the tape that they did together?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sly, fucking incredible.
Yeah. And the song they do together on Thugger Girls Relationship. Yeah. Oh my god, what
dude.
It's like, yeah. Like I need to get someone on here to do like pick a Future song for every question.
Yo, that'd be cool. That would be a hard episode. I would tune in for that.
Yeah. I'd have to, that'd be really hard to, but God, I love Future.
You should do that. You should interview yourself.
Oh man.
I do that.
Oh, I could do a Young Thug episode and I'll get Claire to interview. I'll see if I can get her.
There you go. Now we're talking.
Okay. Need to put it in the budget.
Put that in the bank.
Non-existent budget.
Yeah.
Okay. What's a song that at first you couldn't stand it, but now you absolutely love it?
All right. So this is rewind to when I was in high school. So since this was pre-internet, right? So I would find my music through, I think at the time I was reading, or I would buy issues of Alternative Press, AP, and just like actually like look at the reviews. And, you know, if I had a good review, I'd save my lunch money, go to, you know, Tower.
Yeah.
And buy it and then come home. And one of the records I got was Domestica by Cursive. And I was not hip to Cursive before that. And I put it in my CD player, and the song that I picked was The Martyr, and it has that crunchy. And, you know, at the time I was like primarily into like pop punk and like Blink and, you know, all that shit. And this dissonance was new to me. And I was like, what the fuck is happening? Like, what? This is the main riff of the song? And I hated it. I fucking hated it. But since I saved my lunch money to buy it, I was like, no, right. I'm going to listen to this several times.
Yeah.
And I don't know what listen it was, but it finally clicked. And I was like, oh, this riff rules. Like, this album rules. Like, I get it, you know? And maybe like, I also like dug into the story and what it was, you know, what it was about. And that made more sense. But yeah, man, I fucking hated that song when I first heard it.
I have had this conversation with Sam, and I used to talk about this on the Ransom podcast all the time, how back when, yeah, we were in high school and you had to save your money and you spent like $20 on this thing, you were going to listen to it over and over again, no matter what.
Yeah.
And there's stuff that is like beloved to me that because of that, if I had heard it now in the age of you can just go on anywhere and hear it, and I didn't like it, be like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, and I kind of feel bad for, you know, the younger generation not able to experience that, you know, like, it is cool to be able to access anything at any time, and, you know, I think the kids, that's really sick for them to be able to have access to so many different genres, mixtapes, everything, you know, like so easily, but they'll never know saving your $10 and just being like, god damn it, I'm gonna listen to this again, because this is all I have on my road trip. I only brought 3 CDs. This is one of them.
I think there's just something to that, and just I don't know, like, I mean, I still go to record stores and stuff, obviously, but just the whole like ritual of it. Like, used to be a record store in town, and it was like half of it was a record store and half of it was a head shop. And like Fridays after school, my dad would get home from work and he would take me to the record store.
And I would
just, you know, scour just all the CD racks for like an hour because I couldn't, I could only afford one thing.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh,
what do I pick good? Yeah.
Man. And so, yeah. But, now I feel like I'm like old man yelling at a cloud, but still.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely old. This is an old ass conversation we're having.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. But hey, probably the people listening to this are old asses too. So.
Totally.
Okay. If you were running for a political office or were a professional wrestler, I don't know which angle you took, but what song would you
political office.
Okay. So if you're running for office, what song are you coming on the stage to?
I picked fucking Tevin Campbell. This is the main song from a Goofy movie, Eye to Eye.
Yes.
I mean, I'm going to get your vote.
Yeah.
That song is...
This song goes way harder than it has any right to in a Goofy movie.
Dude. I mean, it's worth the price of admission alone.
Yeah.
Like, that is an incredible fucking song.
It is. It's... Oh man,
it's undeniable. I feel like it's undeniable.
Yeah,
That chorus is just fucking. Woo.
Yeah, and that guitar.
I thought
solo.
It was Prince at first. When I first heard it, I thought it was like Prince or Michael Jackson. When I was like young, I was like, "Damn, they got fucking Michael Jackson." Disney's crazy. Tevin Campbell.
Yeah. Hey. Instantly. Yeah, you would get my vote. If you ever do a covers record, you should cover this song. Like, do all this. Like,
yo, 100%. Yeah. Also, going back to the song, like, it has such an iconic, like, first 3 seconds. Or, the you know, the first bar. The done.
Yeah.
You know what it is. Fucking done. Yeah. You're done. Yeah. You're finished. You're tuning in for the next 4 minutes or whatever it is.
Yep. You're hooked.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. It takes something really magical to, like, to get you within 3 or 4 notes.
Oh, man, yeah.
All right, last question. What's the song that you want played at your funeral or your wake?
It's Going Home by Albert Eiler, which is, you know, a theme from, I forget who it was, Tchaikovsky or...
I forget what
composer, but I think, you know, going back to a lot of what we talked about, like, the melody is just so perfect, so spiritual. I actually played this when my grandma passed away at her funeral. And I don't know. I think that song just has a special place in my heart. It really hit me when I first heard it. And I just, like, that melody, you know, it's just like, and the title, you know, it's like, that's all you need.
Going home.
But
it's a song that's just, like, full of peace to me. Like, it's, which is,
I also love that it's, you know, the version I love is Albert Eiler, and he's, you know, I feel like in general, he's known for the more loud, abrasive, brash attacks. But, like, nah, he came from literally, like, you know, this background, and, like, he, like, melody and the spirituality that he has in his tone and his vibrato just, like, really, you know, I think is really showcased in that album. Where a lot of it is just, like, piano and saxophone, but, like, it's very melodically driven, and you know, I think it's very cool that it kind of showcases that artists can be multidimensional. You know, like, you don't only have to be known as or for one thing, right?
Right.
We have interests in so many different things. Yeah. And, you know, I feel like it kind of made me feel like it's okay if I wanted to do something loud and then something soft, or, like, and then, like, a trio record, or, you know, whatever the fuck. Right. And just normalizing that, you know, you're not going to really know what you're going to listen to when you hear my music, but it's still me, you know, hopefully that translates, but.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. Yeah. That's kind of a perfect place to end.
Bury me in the ground. Thanks so much.
Thank you again for. Thanks again for doing it.
Yeah. Second time. Thanks for having me, man. Looking forward to the third.
It'll be happening, the reunion tour. So, and then maybe we'll have a fourth version, the anthology.
There you go.
Forgetting is Violence, September 19th. American Dreams.
Check it out.
Got any shows or anything coming up you want to mention?
Yeah, I'm going to do, like, a short little headlining tour for the record. Colorado, Portland, and the LA and in October. And then Philly, Chicago, and New York in November.
Beautiful.
Come on out.
Go see it. Once again, a million thanks to the one and only Patrick Shirishi. Patrick's the best. Forgetting His Violence, out on Friday via American Dreams. This episode, yeah, God, it's fun. I love doing these remix episodes. It's kind of a different flavor than the regular episodes. Of course, check out Patrick's picks, the playlist in the show notes. Go see him on his various upcoming tours and shows and all of that good stuff. You won't be disappointed. And of course, thanks for listening. Till next time, keep on listening whatever the hell you want.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.